Welcome to On the Way, where we walk through scripture in episodes that are short enough that you can listen to them on the way to your destination, and deep enough to help you on the way to becoming who God created you to be. We are being sanctified. We've not yet reached perfection. We are not yet in heaven, but we are on the way. Hello, today we are in Titus chapter 3, verses 3 through 7, five verses today. The focus of this section is a beautiful and emotional poem, and we'll get to that in a second, but it opens with a reminder of what we talked about in the last episode, the importance of living selfless lives. Verse 3 says, "Once we too were foolish and disobedient. We were misled and became slaves to many lusts and pleasures. Our lives were full of evil and envy, and we hated each other." Paul is contrasting the difference of living a life in pursuit of pleasure and a life in pursuit of unity. We live lives in pursuit of selfish pleasures only for our own peril. We set our destination to division and jealousy when our goal in life is our own pleasure. And Paul calls this evil. But that's not who we are anymore, right? We're changing. We now live selflessly, like Christ, not seeking pleasure, but seeking to sacrifice for others. So here's the poem. "When God our Savior revealed His kindness and love, He saved us, not because of the righteous things we had done, but because of His mercy. He washed away our sins, giving us new birth and new life through the Holy Spirit. He generously poured out the Spirit upon us through Jesus Christ our Savior. Because of His grace, He made us right in His sight and gave us confidence that we will inherit eternal life." The poem is really just the salvation message. God washed away our sins and gave us new life, justification and sanctification, forgiveness and a Spirit-filled life, adoption into God's family and a better life to live. So the word-for-word literal Greek translation of verse 5 would be something like this. "He saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, which He poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior. That has been justified by, that having been justified by grace, heirs, we should become according to the hope of life eternal." So the washing of regeneration and the becoming according to the hope of life eternal. It seems to me that Paul is writing this poem using a prophecy from the book of Ezekiel. He knew the book of Ezekiel very well, and he used some of Ezekiel's words to show that the prophecies of Ezekiel had been fulfilled. So Ezekiel 36 verses 24 through 27 says, "For I will gather you up from all the nations and bring you home again to the land. Then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. Your filth will be washed away, and you will no longer worship idols. And I will give you a new heart and will put a new spirit in you. I will take out your stony, stubborn heart and give you a new, tender, responsive heart. And I will put my spirit in you so that you will follow my decrees and be careful to obey my regulations." This prophecy of being gathered from all the nations is a reflection on the introduction of the Gentiles to God's family, and that is what Paul and Titus are doing with their lives. And what does it say God will do with them? He will sprinkle clean water on them, washing away their filth, their sin. Then He will give them a new heart, a new life, by giving them the Spirit. The Holy Spirit will come and make their spirit new, and that new spirit won't be selfish. But selfless. And I think that's just beautiful. And if we don't see how beautiful that is, it's because we've become calloused to the most powerful, the most life-transforming truth that there is. And I think that's largely because we're skeptical of it. We're skeptical of the effects of salvation. We wonder if salvation can actually do what God claims it can do, can actually change people, can actually cleanse and transform us the way Ezekiel and Paul says that it does. That can happen because we get impatient. We want God to change people faster than he changes them. So then we get skeptical, well, it must not be happening at all. It's not happening at my speed. Or God changes things about people that aren't our priorities for them to for God to change in their lives. We create our own list of things that we want changed about people, and if we don't see those changes happen, then we get skeptical of God's ability to change. Sometimes we're just skeptical of change in general. You've heard people say, people don't change, but that is just verifiably wrong. We see people change all the time. We've seen people go to church and change completely. We've seen people get married or become a parent and it totally changes the way that they interact with the world. We've seen addicts go completely clean. Psychologists say that even our personalities can change when major life events change them. People do change. We believe in change, and I believe that there is no greater change agent than to recognize that this life is not all that there is. When we truly believe that this life is the beginning of a much greater life, the motivation for everything that we do changes, and it changes us. And when our motivations change, we change. When an athlete is motivated by helping his team win instead of padding her own stat sheet, then she changes the way that she plays the game. She changes who she is as an athlete. When a business owner changes his motivation from personal gain to community improvement, his business actually changes. The way he interacts with the world changes. When a pastor changes his motivation from growing his local congregation to growing God's kingdom, his strategy, his actions change. People change. So, what's your motivation? Are you motivated by making your physical life better? Or are you motivated by your Christian mission, by an eternal calling? Okay, that's Titus chapters 3, verses 3 through 7. If you're getting together with a group to discuss this episode, we've included some discussion questions in the show notes. And if you have time, spend a few minutes in prayer before your gathering. Ask God to use these passages to form you into the person that He created you to be. Thank you for joining me for this episode of On the Way. And here are the discussion questions for this episode. Number one, how does the constant pursuit of pleasure lead to division and cause us to hate each other? Number two, talk about how following Jesus has changed your life. What are the actual effects that Christian discipleship has had on your life? Number three, do you think people can change? Why are so many people skeptical of change? Number four, how does the knowledge that we are eternal beings affect the way that we live our lives? Does it have any impact on the way we treat people? Number five, how often are we motivated by our Christian mission rather than by improving our lives here on earth? How would being motivated by eternity change the way we interact with people at work, teach our kids, post things on social media, etc.?